In the Gospel of Luke, the story that has just been recounted to you is one of the most familiar in all of Scripture. It speaks to us of a time when everything came together perfectly. What's interesting is, in the fullness of time, while everything had come together in a perfect manner to display the glory of God, to accomplish the will of God, to fulfill the purpose of God, you would have thought everyone would have noticed it. And yet it seems no one noticed it. It seems that those who did were but a few. The announcement that came and the promises that were given and all the things that were revealed were done in very unusual ways, to the point where it would seem that it could have easily been missed. The story of the shepherds is a story that, I guess, in the Christmas story is my favorite part of the Christmas story. And I'm sure I've said that to you before after all these years of preaching Christmas sermons. But in the Christmas story, and in particular the record that Luke gives us of the shepherds' experience, it reveals so many things that every time you go back to it, you discover something new. Hearing it from the mouth of a character who puts himself into the place of what it must have been like causes us to feel some of that as well. And it brings to life the message and the story of what it meant when the fullness of time had come that God sent forth His Son. I want us to consider that from the perspective of the shepherds today. And so turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 and look at verses 8 through 20 as we see the story again in some detail. It says, "In the same region there were shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" Amazingly, when we read the story, we discover that the announcement was a very unconventional announcement. Have you ever noticed that when God gets ready to do something significant in your life, that many times it seems He does it in a way that you didn't expect? Have you ever noticed that when God gets ready to accomplish something, and when He brings us to a place where we are going to experience the movement of His Spirit and His power, that it may come in a way or at a time that we were not anticipating? It was an unconventional announcement that they received, and it was one that would have come to people that would never have been expected. Today, if something is going to be announced, a press conference is called. And even before the press conference is held, people start talking about the fact that a press conference has been called. The announcement comes before the announcement is made, because it comes in conventional ways that we expect and contract. But here what we see is an unconventional announcement. And I want to challenge you this Christmas to listen to the voice of God, to see in the Word of God, and to sense from the Spirit of God what He is doing in your life, and to set aside any conventional expectations that you may have, and let Him decide how He wants to speak to you. Let God decide how He wants to share His heart with your heart. The shepherds were not the religious leaders of the day. In fact, they were considered to be unclean, even though they would have been Jews, perhaps. They would not have been allowed to worship in the temple without going through a time of purification because of their association with the animals. And so they lived on the outskirts, almost like outcasts. And while they provided a very necessary and needed service that rendered not only food but clothing for those who depended on them, those same people didn't have much to do with them. As a result, they tended to band together and hang together because they were the only ones that would have anything to do with them. So why would God deliver this most amazing message in this most miraculous fashion to this most unlikely of people? Because God always chooses the weaker things to confound the strong. And because God always chooses to do the most with the least. And because God always takes that which is considered to be last and makes it first. And because God never does anything that is expected, anticipated, or conventional by our standards, because God doesn't live in my box. He's always outside my box. An unconventional announcement led to undeniable faith. Listen again to what happened. After they'd received this message and heard the angels singing, it says in verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They wanted to go to Bethlehem. An undeniable faith. How often does what God says in our hearts or what we experience in worship lead to action? And how often does what we hear in our ears and what we read with our eyes and what we sense by the presence of His Holy Spirit lead to paralysis? How many times do we know that God has guided us or led us or spoken to us or directed us, but we've done nothing about it or we've refused to respond to Him? How many times do we stand stock still when He says to move and be obedient? It was an undeniable faith that led them to step out from their comfort zone and to go and experience what God had said. They moved and were moved by what God said to them. Let's go see it. The angel announced it. It must be true. Let's go see it. It didn't say, let's go see if they're really telling us the truth. It said, let's go see what they have told us. Now, does that mean that they went not being sure of whether they would see it or not? Well, I don't know. I'm sure there was some doubt in their minds. They're human like you and me. You know, there's always that sense of shock that comes whenever we hear something so amazing or miraculous, and you kind of have to get over that. And so that's what they were doing. But it was an undeniable faith that led them beyond their shock or their hesitation or their limitations and led them to go and see. They went to see what had been foretold, what had been announced to them. They didn't go to see if it had been announced. Imagine how it would change the way we live as believers, how the way we function as a church, if we were to act on the will and the word of God consistently and faithfully without hesitation. Imagine how it would change the way that we impact our community, the way that we influence our society and culture, the way that we reach beyond our borders, if we were to be obedient rather than to offer excuses. Imagine how we would be moved in such ways in worship and in times where we are really zeroed in and focused on the will of God if we were to do so and with an undeniable faith that others would see and witness. That's what happened with the shepherds, and that's the story of the shepherds. You say, well, they didn't have anything to lose and they didn't have much to give up. That's probably true. But would you really want to use that as an excuse for disobedience? Or would you want to acknowledge that maybe our lives have become so convoluted and complicated by our own doing that we're no longer free to obey God as we ought? I think about it sometimes. I was talking to a friend serves on the mission field, and he said to me, "You ought to come over." And I said, "Boy, I'd love to. But you know, I got this, and I got that, and I got the other thing." And by the time my explanation was finished, it was kind of all soured in my throat and in the pit of my stomach, and I realized how lame I really was. And how lame that must sound to someone who's left all to obey God. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you be available to do. I'm not telling you where to go. I'm telling you that when God says go, be ready to go. I'm not telling you how much to give. I'm telling you that you need to be free to give and not so bound by the things of this earth that we cannot display an undeniable faith that others will see and that will honor God. They encountered in verse 16 an unimaginable miracle. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now, what was unimaginable about this miracle? Was it because it was exactly as it had been told? Well, yeah, that's part of it. They had heard the voice of an angel. They had seen the vision of the angel. They had witnessed the host of heaven declaring the praises and glory of God. The brilliance of the light that seemed to just form in front of them was something that they couldn't get out of their minds. And so this message, all of this display, all of this glory, simply to deliver one single message. This message, they said, there's a baby born, go find him. They went, and it was exactly as they'd been told. An unimaginable miracle. When you come to Jesus for the sake of the gospel, when you experience the power of his cleansing love, it's just as he told you it would be. I wish that there was a way that we could have that glimpse of glory that the shepherds had. I sometimes long for the ability to see beyond the pale of this existence into the life that is still to come. We spent Thanksgiving with my parents, and we hadn't been down there in quite a while. And of course, we're all getting older, you know. That seems to be the way of it. And so we sit around for a while, you know, after we get our relationships kind of renewed and caught up on the news of the day. And it occurred to me, we started talking about doctor's visits and, you know, different ailments and issues and things like that. And as I was sitting there sharing my own, and, you know, we were talking about this stuff, I thought to myself, man, this stinks. Happy Thanksgiving to you too, you know, that kind of thing. And then I thought about the fact that one of these days it's going to change. You know, this whole aging process, I'm convinced, is nothing more than God's reminder that we're not intended for this planet. Because the older I get and the more time that passes, and with each new ache or pain, it reminds me that I long for the day when that's all going to be gone. I really don't want to stay here forever. I really don't. I want to see Jesus. I want to experience the unimaginable miracle of the fulfillment of God's grace found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The unimaginable miracle of Christmas is nothing more than the gospel of Christianity. It is the story of Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. Everything is because of Jesus. Everything revolves around Jesus. Everything comes back to Jesus. Everything is fulfilled in Jesus. And everything draws us to Jesus. When Christmas or celebrations or holidays or worship services or anything else that revolves around this whole business that we call us takes attention away from Jesus, then we have robbed God of the unimaginable miracle of grace found only in the gospel. What are we going to do this Christmas? We're going to declare Jesus. Over and over again, through the mouths of characters found in the scriptures, we are going to declare Jesus. Through the messages preached from this pulpit, we're going to declare Jesus. Through the songs and carols that we sing together, we're going to declare Jesus. When we gather on Christmas Eve, we're going to declare Jesus. When we celebrate with our families, we declare Jesus, because it's always about the unimaginable miracle found only in Jesus. What can be more miraculous than saving someone's soul? What can be more miraculous than forgiving our sins? What can be more miraculous than defeating death and evil and sin? The fulfillment of the promise found in Jesus Christ indeed was a miracle that the shepherds could not have imagined the full implications of. But I'm convinced that now, over 2,000 years later, it remains a miracle that even we cannot fully appreciate the full extent of. In verse 17 and in verse 18, it says, "When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart." We see an unstoppable testimony. Now, I'm not sure that it was the kind of testimony that you and I would typically think of. That's why I call it unstoppable. It was something that sort of flowed out of them. It wasn't something that was organized. You know, they didn't get together after they'd seen Jesus and say, you know, okay, now I want you to take this quadrant, and you take this region, and you take this road, and every house on there, you tell them about what you've seen, and here's what we're going to do. You need to cover the 5 points, and you need to do it in 60 seconds or less because we don't have a lot of time to move on. And they have a strategy for sharing what they'd experienced. Now, I don't think it was like that. I think they just simply left, and as they went, they were so overwhelmed with the joy and the power of the presence of God within them, and the joy and the power of what they'd experienced and the fulfillment of it, that it just sort of flowed out of them so that everybody that they met along the way, they told. It was an unstoppable testimony. And it bothers me that my testimony has become quenched by my own fears. My testimony has become quenched or reserved by those around me and by the conventions that others force upon me. It bothers me that the testimony of Christianity is no longer something that is shared. It bothers me that we don't have the opportunity for that in worship anymore because there's too many of us and we don't take the time for it like we once did. I think that there needs to be something said of what God is doing in the hearts and minds of each of us as we go. And there needs to be a building and a power from the testimony of what God is doing. Maybe if we celebrated God's activity more in the lives of each other, we would be less prone to worry about or focus attention on those things that don't count. This wasn't evangelism. This was experience sharing. This wasn't some kind of missions outreach to try to convince or persuade other people. They didn't care what you thought or what I think. They only cared about what God had done in their lives, and it was so powerful they couldn't keep it. You ever had news that was so good you just couldn't keep it? Have you? I find that news that is really bad is harder to keep. The news that is really good. Have you noticed that? I mean, just listen to the conversations. Are you more inclined to share your bad news? Think about it. You come home after a hard day, or you're already at home and it was a hard day there and somebody else comes home to you. What's the first thing you say? It was such a fantastic day. You should have been there. You should have, well, yeah, there were some problems along, but don't think about that. And they start telling about all the wonderful things. You know, you just start, no. Oh, you come in, you throw your stuff down, you sigh real heavily, and, you know, what's for dinner, or we're having this, or we're doing that. You wouldn't believe the idiots I have to deal with in my life. I mean, everything from the people on the road to the people I work with, to some of the goofy friends that I seem to have gotten along the way, I got to get better friends. I mean, we start talking about the problems. Bad news travels fast, doesn't it? I was listening to, being in South Arkansas is kind of cool because you don't actually have any contact with the outside world. In fact, a lot of them aren't even aware that there is an outside world, and so it's kind of nice. You know, you slip into this bubble. My mom and dad are having a generator installed, one of these whole house generators. And you know why? Because they lose power about once a month, And I asked Dad, I said, I understand the ice storms, and I understand the, you know, they had a tornado that ripped through part of his 40 acres and tore up a bunch of his pine trees and stuff and knocked out their power for 3 days. I said, I understand the storms and things like that. But I said, why does it go out the other times? He said, son, we don't know. It just quits. And you call them up and you tell them, hey, we don't have any power. And they say, yeah, we know. And then he said, well, when is it going to be back on? Well, that we don't know. I got there. They didn't have a phone. They had cell phones, which is kind of spotty. You do get pretty decent coverage down there, but you didn't have any kind of landline. I said, what's wrong with the phone? He said, I don't know. The phone guy's coming out. He said, it rained. I said, it rained. It rains down here all the time. I said, you people got web feet. It's wet down here. And he said, I know it. He said, I would think they'd know what to deal with. He used some kind of waterproof lines or something. But no, he said, it rained. And once it rained, the phone went out. Well, the guy got there the next morning. We got up, and the phone guy came, and I walked out, and I said, "I said, you know, you need in the house?" He said, no, I didn't check the line out here. He said, I think it's up the line. He goes, he fixes the thing. And anyway, they're getting this generator. They're going to have, you know, so they'll have contact, and they got their cell phones and so forth. So it's kind of removed. So we don't get a lot of news down there, you know, and that's kind of nice because you get away from all of that. Well, along the way, I listened to, they do have satellite, which works most of the time, and I was listening to the news, and said that Tiger Woods had been in a serious car accident, and he was in terrible condition, and they didn't know if he was going to survive. They didn't know the details of the accident, and they reported this, and then you'd see it on the ticker on ESPN or something like that, and I thought, well, what's the deal with that? You know, he hit a fire hydrant outside his house and ran into a tree. How's that all work, you know, and now he's in serious condition. Well, it turns out that wasn't the case at all. I did have an accident. He was hurt, but he was never in any kind of a life-threatening situation. It was all blown out of proportion. Why? Because if it bleeds, it leads. And bad news travels fast. What about good news? Here was a group of guys that had received good news, and they had a wonderful testimony, and they went and they shared what God had done in their lives and what he had manifested for the world, and it became an unstoppable testimony. It was something that was not easily thwarted, and I wish we could recapture the joy and the wonder, the newness, the freshness, the life and vitality of the gospel as it has changed each of us. Do this. Just make a pledge to yourself that this week you'll at least share some good news as often as you do bad news. That ought to cut the bad in half, and it ought to double the good. And then you can build on that later. The last was an uncontrollable worship. They praised God. They glorified him. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. It was an uncontrollable worship. It was something that it just sort of flowed out of them like their testimony. They praised God. They worshiped him. Everything that is genuine and true that we experience from the presence of God, from his Spirit's work within us, by his word, through Jesus Christ, everything that is true of him will always result in praise to him. And everything that is skewed or contaminated by us or the world around us will kind of redirect the attention back to us. So if it doesn't produce praise, it's probably not God. Or if it was God, you messed it up along the way. When it stays all God all the time, it will produce praise and glory from us. Isn't it interesting how so many times we go into experiences that ought to produce in us a sense of wonder and awe at the work of God, that should produce from us a powerful presence of his Holy Spirit and worship. And yet many times what is left out of all of that has nothing to do with worship, but only has to do with us. How does that work? They had an uncontrollable worship that just sort of flowed out of them in a way that others couldn't put a lid on. And it seems didn't really want to. They glorified God. They praised God. What they had seen, what they had heard, and what had been told to them. What have you seen? Have you seen the hand of God working in your life? Henry Blackaby says, look around you. Look around you. In the life that you're living, your family, your job, your neighbors, your community, look around you. See where God's at work. That's what he says. Once you've identified where God is working, then go join him there. Don't stand over here and stomp your foot and demand that God come and work where you are the way you say it has to be, because it's not going to happen. All that's going to happen is you standing alone throwing a tantrum. And I promise you, nobody wants anything to do with that. Look around and see where he's at work and go join him there. When the shepherds were out in the fields, they looked around and they saw the amazing display of heaven as it was illuminated before them. They heard the message that the Messiah had been born. They went and experienced it for themselves, and it changed their lives so much so that they could not help but share it with the people they came in contact with. And they could not but help declare it as they worshiped God, giving him praise and glory. We were talking about how we're possibly going to get together and do our Christmas shopping this year because we've got so much going on. Kathy's got so much going on, and life's just out of control. And I think we've got a wedding in there somewhere too. And so, how many days? 20 days. There you go. And so, are you sure it's only 20 days? Okay. I said, you know, everybody's going to get a lot of gift cards this year, you know, so just pick your store or whatever. I'm going to make a pledge to you, or promise to you, that I am not going to surrender my worship, my praise, my glory because of anything else. We're going to do the wedding, and we're going to have fun, and it's going to be great, and we're going to get Christmas shopping done somehow, some way, and it'll be fine, and we're going to spend time with family, and we're going to do all of the things that we have planned here at church, and we're going to do it in a way that brings honor to him. But we are not going to lose our perspective. I'm not going to be angry if this doesn't work. I'm not going to be upset if that doesn't work. I'm not going to allow that. I am drawing the line with you today, and I'm telling you that this is about God. This is not about me. And I want us to live to his glory so that when this season closes, all that will be left from us will be praise and glory. Please listen to the voice of heaven. Obey what he says quickly. Follow that leadership and see for yourself that what he has promised is indeed true. Experience the power of a shared testimony of what God is doing in your life. And remember, it's not about you. So give him the praise. Give him the glory.